The following is a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We are a caring and inclusive church, seeking to know Christ and share grace with our community. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary at 55 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, and on our website at fumcpittsfield.org. We hope that you are blessed as you listen to this message.
Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of Psalms, that is the whole of Psalm 13. Let's hear the word of God. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own ways? Agony filling my heart daily? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? Look at me. Answer me, Lord, my God. Restore sight to my eyes, otherwise I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I won. My foes will rejoice over my downfall, but I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Yes, I will sing to the Lord, because he has been good to me. The word of God. I humbly ask that we get upstanding as we take our gospel reading. Our gospel reading today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 10. I'm reading from the 40th verse to the 42nd verse. Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Beloved, let's hear the word of God. Those who receive you are also receiving me. And those who receive me are receiving the one who sent me. Those who receive a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Those who receive a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. I assure you that everybody who gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones, because they are my disciples, will certainly be rewarded. I take the last verse again. I assure you that everybody who gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones, because they are my disciples, will certainly be rewarded. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord.
So, full disclosure, I was, one of the things that I hadn't done before I went on vacation was write a sermon for today. And so I sat down yesterday or Friday and I started writing a sermon, and I got into it and I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm still on vacation. So I cut it a little short. And I'm sure you're upset to hear that I have a shorter sermon today. But good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Steve. It feels like it's been forever since I've been here preaching. First was annual conference, and then I had these 2 weeks of vacation that my district superintendent encouraged me to use. I mentioned earlier that I have an application that I use called My Life Organized, which is aptly named. I mean, this thing can set you straight. And part of what it does is project management. And so I have in My Life Organized, and I have, you know, for a long time, I have had every single thing that I need to do in order to be ready for worship on Sunday morning. And I have them in order. So like on Monday, I do these things. On Tuesday, I do these things, right? Things like create the bulletin on this day, create these splash screens and digital media event things another day, and create the Facebook events for the live stream, and create the lower thirds that run on the live stream. You know, all these things I do, and they're all scheduled in there in My Life Organized, and so on. But I haven't touched My Life Organized. So when you do it, you check it off. And when all of the events for worship are checked off, it resets so that the next week's events are automatically created, because it turns out there's a Sunday every week. I don't know if you knew that, but there's a Sunday every week. I haven't touched this thing in 3 weeks. And so I went to look and try to figure out what it is that I needed to do before today. And so I launched the software And it's, you know, every line has a, every item has a line, and on the thing, you know, like, do in 3 days. Do today. Every single one of these was this red block lit up with 21 days overdue. I was being scolded by my software. I said, well, I can't look at that. So I checked on that. 14 days overdue. Checked on that. Guess what? 7 days overdue. I was being scolded by my computer for taking some time away. Really, it was only 2 weeks vacation. Of course, the first week I was at annual conference and just didn't preach. And then the week after annual conference, I was here working, but I didn't preach again that Sunday because that's when the vacation officially started. Well, that's all just accounting anyway. But for me, the reality is it feels like I haven't been here in forever. And it's good to be home. It's good to be home. I mean, most of the time I was at, you know, I don't like the word staycation, but that's mostly what it was. Mostly I was, you know, I was kayaking and, you know, hanging out and mostly sort of unwinding. Did take a trip to Pittsburgh to see a Pirates game with my family, and we won, so I was very excited about that. But it's good to be home. And I don't mean, you know, the place I live in Massachusetts, I've been here, but I mean here in this pulpit with you all on this day, here in this place that I've been officially for a year now, if you can believe it, and you've welcomed me from the start. This church is home. This church that welcomes the community in every Tuesday morning and evening for food and fellowship is home. This church that invites our neighbors into our company for movie nights is home. And by the way, I do want to have a movie night in July, so I'm going to have to get on the stick and figure out, you know, what we're doing, what we're watching, and when. This place that is going to be opening its doors to those who have nowhere to sleep, to bless the community with a shelter, it's home. It's good to be home. And home isn't always a pleasant place to be. In the every week for the Facebook event, or for the live stream, I write kind of a little blurb about, you know, what's going to happen in worship. And in this week's, I wrote that there was an author who wrote, home is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. That was Robert Frost in Death of the Hired Man, that occurred. But I often think, sometimes with family, there's a similar quote, from an author, but of an author of a very, very different genre. This one is Stephen King. And in his epic novel, It, he wrote, home is the place where when you go there, you have to finally face the thing in the dark. I don't mean just family when I say home. I mean home, whatever home is. In whatever context you find it. It could be family, yes. It could be home in the sort of the traditional sense. It could be work. It could be a friend group. It could be a club. It could be, wait for it, a church. Uh-oh. Whatever home is, whatever it looks like, there's always something that you have to face in the dark. And Jesus recognized this, absolutely recognized this. In today's gospel reading, Jesus was talking to his disciples about a kind of home that doesn't reflect a nuclear family. He was talking about the home that his disciples would continue to build around their kingdom work long after he was gone. He wasn't talking about a house when he was talking about this home. He was talking about hospitality. He was talking about invitation. He was talking about the home that we create with our hearts. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, those who receive a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Those who receive a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound great? Right? I mean, that sounds all right. I mean, what is a righteous person's reward? Well, Jesus told us that too back in the Beatitudes. Happy are the people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness because they will be fed until they are full. Huh? That sounds like a good reward. But what does Jesus say about the prophet's reward? What reward does a prophet get? Well, Jesus said to them, prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometowns, among their relatives, and in their households. Or you might say, in their homes, right? What else did he say? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often have I wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want that. Maybe the reward for the righteous person sounds kind of good, right? Nice good meal. Ever mention how much I like baked potatoes? Like a steak and a baked potato, right? Or deviled eggs. Those are my kryptonite. But it doesn't seem to work out that well for the prophets, does it? They're out there doing good work, God's work, kingdom work. They get a prophet's reward, death, stoning. I mean, okay, their ultimate reward is pretty good, right? God's going to take care of them. After they receive their reward on earth. That's a lot to ask of someone. And Jesus knew that. Jesus absolutely knew that. I think what he was talking about here, all this reward stuff, it gets a little bit confusing, right? Those who receive you are receiving me, and those who receive me are receiving the one who sent me. All right, okay, give it a second. Map that out in your head. Do a little sentence diagram. All right, I'm on board. Those who receive a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward? Okay. Those who receive a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward? In math, we call that the transitive property. In spirituality, it's a little bit sneakier. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hands if you don't, but who here would consider yourself, who would stand up or call out and say, I am a righteous person? Is there anyone here who would proclaim to the world that I am a righteous person? You don't actually have to answer that. That's a rhetorical question, but not many people would stand up and say, I am righteous. It's not very humble to proclaim that we're righteous. Yet, if we receive a righteous person as a righteous person, we receive a righteous person's reward. We receive a righteous person's reward. And who gets a righteous person's reward? A righteous person, right? So if we receive a righteous person as a righteous person, we get a righteous person's reward, and the people who get righteous person's reward are righteous people. So if we get a righteous person's reward, we are righteous people. Which is great. I mean, all right, I'm not going to stand up and say I'm righteous. But, you know, somebody else wants to, I'm on board. It's great. But the next part is kind of scary. Because if it's true for righteousness, it's kind of got to be true for the other thing too. Those who receive a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And who receives prophet's rewards? Prophets. And that's a little heavier. Because we've already talked about what prophets' rewards are. You have honor everywhere, but your own home and your own place. I mean, it's one thing to say we're righteous. It's a whole other thing to both say and claim that we're prophets of God. But hear me out. All right, so we're Methodists. And in the Methodist tradition, we consider all of us, to be part of the divine priesthood of God. The book that we use when we're working on our discernment is called Each One a Minister. And it recognizes that we're all called to God's service in some way. We're called to be disciples first and foremost, but we're also called to be, you know, teachers and leaders and proclaimers of the good news. We're called, all of us, we're called to be ministers. You never hear me or most Methodist pastors refer to ourselves as Methodist ministers, because in the Methodist tradition, we're all ministers. But I'm a pastor. We're all ministers, as Peter called us, the divine priesthood. But we're also called to be teachers and proclaimers and leaders and ministers. Friends, we're called to be prophets. We are each called to be prophets of God. I mean, what's the very definition of the word prophet? Prophet, noun, a person regarded as an inspired teacher or proclaimer of the will of God. And that's all of us. Jesus, in this scripture, was basically telling his followers, they, the people, they call me a prophet, but I call you prophets. And because you are prophets, you will create generation upon generation upon generation upon generation of prophets who will go boldly into the communities, speaking the truth of the great love of God and transforming the world. But it's not going to be easy. So during my vacation, I went to my local, you know, the watering hole I go to when I need to step away for a little bit. And while I was there, I got into a discussion about God, as frequently happens. Essentially, there was a young person there who was not on board with my understanding of the way the world works. And for the rest of the evening, I could literally hear this person mocking me to his friends. It was literally, it was like a bully on a play yard, mocking me just loud enough to be sure that I heard. Frankly, I was getting a little hot under the collar. But I did my best to ignore it and keep my cool. And before I left, a couple of this young person's friends came over to apologize for his behavior. And through the course of their apology, those friends and I actually did have a conversation. Like a real conversation about spirituality, about religion, about God. We had a true conversation about faith and what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's not always going to be easy, but we have to keep the home of our hospitality, the home of our welcoming, we have to keep our home in Christ open all the time. We have to keep welcoming people into that home that is our faith, our understanding of God, our knowledge of the grace of God that redeems all things. We have to keep welcoming people into our home that is in Christ Jesus. We have to keep opening ourselves to the possibilities of transformation, because we are called to be prophets of God. We are called to go into our communities to lead, to teach, and to proclaim, and to love, and to share grace, and to walk with people, and to remind each person that we meet that we have a God who loves us so much that that God would never give up on us. We have to keep the hospitality of our home open and be open to the possibilities of transformation, because we can't always predict when a transformation is going to happen. But what we do know is that when it does happen, it's marvelous. Will you pray with me? God of transformation, we ask that you continue to work your transformation on your community through us, and that you continue to transform us, make us more loving, perfect us in your love and your grace. We ask that you continue to send us out so that we can encounter our sisters and brothers in Christ and share with them God's love and God's grace, and bit by bit, build the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, transforming everything that we touch in your name and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening, and God bless.